In the Lord's Day service tonight, we appreciate your presence tonight and look forward to this period of time we can come apart from the world and just worship the Lord. I want to look at one verse tonight as we begin our study, and I recognize that sometimes so much can come from one single verse. When you think about the Bible and how it's written, sometimes one verse can carry a great deal of information, and sometimes it calls for other things that we want to know and connect to different verses. But in Revelation 17 and verse 14, and I recognize that chapter 17 is somewhat of a difficult chapter. It talks about the great harlot that opposed God and how he was going to judge her. But in the process of all this statement about the harlot and the kings that dealt with her, in verse 14, John said by revelation, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." I believe this is enough tonight to talk about, that we recognize the blessing of being a child of God. And in the process of chapter 17, it talks about the great war that goes on between God and the devil, and between the devil's agents and God's agents and God's people. And these are making war with the Lamb, making war with Christ. Yet the promise is that Christ is going to overcome. And those who are called, those who are chosen, those who are faithful. We recognize, as we talked this morning in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, that the gospel is the call, and those who have answered that call are the called. They are the elect. They're the chosen ones. God determined a long time ago that no one was coming to God except those who came through Christ. Jesus recognized that when he said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Our entire life as a child of God now is coming to God through Christ, and through the grace of God, we are the called, we are the chosen, and we are the faithful. I want to put an emphasis, though, on that last one with regard to faithfulness. The church will never grow, the church will never be secure, unless every one of us determines to be faithful. But we need to understand exactly what that means and put that in terminology that we would understand. People say, well, one is faithful because they're always in attendance. Is that really what makes one faithful? Now, certainly that's a part of it, but many times there are those who are faithful in attendance who are not even members of the church. And so we wouldn't say that's a soul definition. Is it based upon one's stance toward institutionalism? We've had a fight since the 50s about institutionalism and what it means to the church. And we say that we need to be faithful with regard to that, but that's not all there is with regard to faithfulness. There's more to it. So we're interested in what the word means, because if we are faithful, we'll be among the called and the chosen. And I want to be seen by God as faithful. I don't really care what people out in the world think about me. I don't care what the government thinks about me. But I really worry and I'm concerned about what God thinks about me, particularly as it means to being faithful. When you look at the Bible, there are three words that talks about faith. One of them is a noun. It talks about faith that you have as an object. I have faith. And you use that as a noun, and it comes from the same word that is used as a verb, to believe. And so, yes, I believe. What does that mean? I have faith in someone. Now, when we think about this, Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 11, or chapter 13, that talks about faith, love, and hope. But the greatest of these is love, because faith will sometimes be sight and hope will sometimes be seen. So this idea of faith is something yet to be seen. We haven't accomplished yet what we want to accomplish, but we can say, I believe. And then the idea of faithful, you use that as an adjective, to be trustworthy, to be dependable, to be reliable. Now I want to put that in my own terms, what it means to me. I like that word, reliable. It's really something that you have friends sometimes upon whom you can rely. or you have family upon you whom you can rely, and you know they're always going to be there, you know they're always going to be ready to help and to serve, and you say, well, they're faithful, but we don't usually say that about our kinfolks and friends. We say they're reliable, and that's the word that I sort of want to use tonight. The idea of being reliable in the service of God. First of all, that's the way God is. God is faithful. He's reliable. I don't have to worry about waking up one day and recognize God is just gone. He's always reliable. The Bible talks about Him in different places. Let me turn first of all to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When you look about this, we take for granted. Have you ever started a prayer and wonder, is God there? No, we take it for granted. God is always there. People in this time of the day in America call upon God in prayer, but around the world it's dark, but they can call on God there too. God is always there, and we take that for granted. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, Paul said, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's wonderful to really understand and know that God is reliable. I don't have to think that maybe He's gone away on vacation or He just decided enough of this and be gone. God is so reliable in faith that we can understand that. In chapter 10 and verse 13, we have another verse of interest. And this verse says, no temptation has overtaken man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I've been in situations where I need that verse and I need to depend on that verse. There are times when you're tested and you're tried and you have these temptations, and you know that all through this, God is faithful. He'll always be there. Now, I know you've taken that for granted because I've taken that for granted. I don't even think about, well, should I, maybe it's, well, it's between 8 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Maybe I can call God now. Maybe He's got office hours. No, you can always call on God. How many times do we realize that? In studying for this lesson, I began to think how many times I'd taken for granted. I don't knock on the door and say, are you there? I don't call ahead and say, can you have a prayer with me? I just know that God will always be there. Now, that's something to recognize through the issues of life. As you're tested and tried and have your temptations, it's something to realize that God will always be there. And let's not take that for granted, because it is something that we need to understand and be faithful and true with. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 3, Paul said again, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Almost in every prayer that I pray, I ask God to keep us from the evil one. That's according to the prayer taught in Matthew chapter 6. Keep us from the evil one. Peter said, the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I need God to help me with regard to keeping the devil away. In the psalm that was just read a moment ago, as the psalmist was talking about make known his mighty deeds, he talked about Abraham being made promises while he was a stranger in these lands that didn't belong to him. And he said, I told them to leave my servants alone. I told them, don't you touch my prophets. God was there when Abraham was walking through the promised land, and it wasn't his, and he could rely upon God. And here's the statement then, that God is faithful, and it was certainly said so in that psalm that we read just a moment ago. I was thinking about that as we read through that, and what a wonderful thing it is to know that God takes care of us. In ways that I don't always understand. I don't always understand how God works. We talked about that in the book of Romans chapter 11 this morning. I don't always understand how God works, but I know He's there. Amen. And I can always call upon Him and He will listen to me. In 1 Peter 4 and in verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as a faithful Creator. So, I think sometimes when you do studies in Roman mythology and Greek mythology and all the various gods that they worshipped, and how their gods were not faithful and how their gods were cruel, and then contrasting that the God we have is faithful, He'll always be the kind of God that He is. And I never have to worry that God's going to get mad at me and strike me with lightning just because He thought it'd be funny. God is faithful, and we have to understand that. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 that Abraham was faithful, and you understand that his life was, here's what we would say, full of faith. But God could know that Abraham was reliable. He was reliable when He told him to leave his country and go to a place I'll show you. He was reliable when He said, I'm going to give you a child. He was reliable when He said, offer that child upon the altar. God didn't take that sacrifice, but He was testing Abraham to see how deep his faith ran. And Abraham was faithful. We need to understand that. Then the Bible relates to, as Paul talks about his companions, that Timothy and Paul and Tychicus were faithful, and what that means is reliable. Can you imagine, here's Paul in prison, and he writes to Timothy, said, bring me the books and bring me my cloak. And he could write to Timothy and know that Timothy was reliable. Now I want to put that in modern terms about the church. Are the members of the Northside Church reliable? Can we count on you to be here when you're supposed to be here? Will you do what you say you're going to do? Will you take part in the work of the church and be reliable, whether leading singing, leading prayer, teaching a class, whatever it is that may be called upon to be done? Are we reliable in that when things need to be done, we can know that the members are going to be reliable? Now, if I said we need to be faithful, well, that's true. But the word reliable really puts it down where we live. We need to be reliable in doing the works that God wants us to do. And we look at others. Silvanus was a faithful, reliable servant of Jesus Christ. You just go through the Bible and pick out some of these that are so faithful and see what's said about them. And they're named as being reliable. You could depend upon people. I believe it's always true that in most congregations, there's a core of people that are reliable. If there's work to be done, they're going to do it. Now, in this congregation, some of them are the women. We take for granted that the Lord's Supper is going to be ready on Sunday. Somebody's got to fix that. Somebody's got to be sure there are glasses that are ready, the little cups. Somebody's got to be ready to be sure the bread's on the table and be sure there are enough cups on there to serve the ones that are here. And you see, that's a little thing. And yet, what would it be if we came into the assembly on some Sunday morning and we'd forgotten to do anything about the table? The idea is that you always rely upon that being ready at the time of worship service. That's because somebody's reliable. That's the way to be. Remember a young person that I never met. I learned about him from other Christians. One Sunday morning, I believe he was from South Carolina. Mississippi. He was from Mississippi. And one Sunday morning, he was not there. And all the members were disturbed because he was always there. He was so reliable. He'd always be there. So after services, they got together and went out to his house to find out what had happened. He was chopping down a tree, and the tree fell on him and killed him. Now, if you were not present at some service, would people say, we got to go find out what's going on? He or she is so reliable, we know there's got to be some real reason why they're not here. In his case, he was so reliable in service to God that when he didn't show up, people knew there was something wrong in his life. Now, that's the kind of reliability that I'm talking about. We can always know that they're going to be there. Not long ago, on one Sunday evening, we talked about Gaius and John and his relationship with Gaius. He said that Gaius was reliable, faithful. He was a faithful servant of God. I've never met Gaius, but one day I hope to meet Gaius. I want to see someone that's reliable, somebody that can be counted on. Now, I'd like for each of you to do an internal thing. Look at yourself And can people say about you that you're reliable? We say, well, this is a faithful church. Yes, but what does that mean? You can rely upon the members of this congregation to do their work. We're reliable because we're full of faith. And to be faithful, one must be dependable then. When it's your job to do something, you're going to be sure that it's done and that it's completed. I remember a story that came across a few years back. It was really a popular story about a farmer that hired a young man to be a worker on the farm. And one night there was a terrible storm. And the owner of the storm got up and found the young man sleeping. And he said, young man, why are you sleeping? There's a storm. He said, I can sleep in a storm. Now what he meant by that, he knew that the gates were shut. He knew that the stock was in the pens. He knew that all his work was done. Because there was a storm, he didn't have to get up and run around like a chicken with his head chopped off trying to get things done. He could sleep in a storm because the work was done. Well, that's a pretty good recommendation, I would think. When somebody can sleep in a storm knowing that everything's battened down, everything's secure, well, that's the sort of thing that we find among Christians, that's the way too. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24, and in verse 45, he talks about the parable of the faithful and wise servant. In verse 45, it says, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master made rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So the idea is the master goes away, but when he comes in, he finds him doing what he's supposed to do. Now, make an application of that. If Jesus came back tonight, would you be ready? You know, he could. I don't know when he's coming back. If Jesus came Monday night at 7, what would he find you doing? Would you be a faithful Christian? I'm not necessarily saying that you've got to be pious and be on your knees at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, but will you have done what you should do as a Christian? And that's the way these things are looking at. So these other verses speak of the same kind of dependability. And a slave or a steward was to be faithful. Now, we don't like slavery, but it was a fact during the days of the Bible. And it's even a fact today. I read not long ago that many of the Muslims keep slaves even today. But the advice of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, with regard to those, is that you do your service as though you're working for the Lord. You give them everything that they can expect for you to do. It may be that you don't like the situation, but you're in the situation. Be dependable. Now, in contrast to that, he talked about in the book of Philemon, the slave that ran away. Paul sent him back to his master because he had not been faithful. He evidently had stolen some things. Now the man had become a Christian when he met Paul, and Paul was telling him to go back, and his name was Onesimus. You go back to your master and you serve him, but let your master understand that now you're a brother in Christ. And he was going to have them both be faithful to each other, as the Bible talks about that. And yes, being faithful, I think, does depend upon being faithful at the worship services. There's a passage of Scripture that all of us ought to put into our thinking and use it occasionally, and particularly if temptation arises to do otherwise. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, that's been debated and talked about a lot, but what it says is something we need to recognize. What the writer of the Hebrew letter is saying, that when Christians assemble, you are to be present. Forsake not the practicing of yourselves together, the assembling of yourselves together. Some were doing that. They were giving up their faith in the time of the Hebrews. They were turning back to the law of Moses and turning away from Christ. And the writer knew that there was some strength in assembling. And it truly is true, it is right to understand that we draw strength from one another. We may not feel the energy going back and forth, But when I see you twice or three times a week, I know that it helps me and keeps me in doing the things that I need to do.
Amen.
So these are things that God depends upon us. Can you say with regard to the worship services that you are reliable? That you're dependable? And that's the thing that each of us has to consider when we look at those words. And God depends on us to be at our post. We have some people here who served in the military. And it's a terrible thing for somebody to have dereliction of duty. They're not keeping their duty, or they're sleeping at the post. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul uses the military illustration with regard to the armor. And we have to be alert and awake. In the Old Testament, there are a number of illustrations about watchmen and how the watchmen are to keep themselves alert and watchful for when the enemy comes and cry aloud and warn everybody when it comes. Isaiah talked about those watchmen that would not do that would be dumb dogs. Now, a dumb dog is a dog that can't bark. It has no voice. Well, what good of a watchdog is a dumb dog? And that's what Isaiah is saying. If you're a watchman, if you're a child of God, and you see danger coming, cry out aloud and let people know that there's danger that's going to cause us to maybe lose our souls. So think of it as being alert at the post. We are in a war, and that's what Ephesians 6 is telling us.
Amen.
We're in a war, and we have people that depend on us to be ready and willing to fight. And so we show up and we're getting ready to do these things and nobody's there. Well, that'd be such a disappointment and a discouragement. And so we have to recognize that God depends on us to be at our post. And He depends on us to get the message out. Now, I thought sometimes about the power of God. With regard to the gospel, God could write it across the sky in big letters. God could send an angel and blow a trumpet and preach the gospel. And yet God depends upon man. Isn't that amazing? The most important thing in all the world that man needs to hear is the gospel of Christ, and depends on human beings to get that message across. What a responsibility that is, and it's not going to be done, brethren, if we don't do it. Now put that into consideration with regard to our coming meeting. If we're not here to support the preaching of the gospel, and there's nothing but empty pews, what are people going to think? Plus, it is up to us to invite our friends and our neighbors to be sure, and we'll have advertisement ready to hand out. But you think about the fact that there are people all around us who are not saved, and nobody is going to hear it if we don't tell it.
Amen.
So we have a responsibility here. Are we reliable when it comes down to telling people about that and helping them understand on that? And so God tells us not to be discouraged, but to be faithful, be dependable, and always abound in the work of the Lord. As far as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. We have to be found doing the work of the Lord. Now, we have hindrances. We hear about so much sickness in the church. And when people are sick, they're not able to do things. We understand that there are times when it's just not possible to do certain things. You have to plan ahead and do the work of the Lord. And sometimes you have to start planning Saturday night to be able to be present on Sunday morning. And so it gets down to the point of, am I really dependable? When the services start, am I in my pew? And that's something that I need to ask myself and recognize that I'm talking to me now. Can I be counted on to be present and understand those things? And so these are things that God expects us to do. And I don't know why this is going backward again. This is not a faithful computer. It is not reliable. It is not dependable. So we're trying to get the message out anyway. And we may have to give it up. But then one must be true to his word. And there are many, many passages that talk about that. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about we're not supposed to lie, but to tell the truth. We have to be sure that we tell people what the truth of God really is. if we're going to be reliable and true to the Word of God. And He wants us to be true to our Word in every situation. Now, let's translate that into something that happens with regard to me, and it happens to you. This is the last day of May. Let's don't look back forward, let's look backward. Have you been reliable in the last month? Now, I'm not trying to get into your business. I know there are things sometimes, illnesses and other things, that keep us from being what we want to be and what doing what we want to do. But it's up to you now to search your heart and to ask, am I being reliable in the work of the church? Am I contributing to the goodness of the work at Northside? Ask yourself, how many times have I heard the gospel in the last month? And have I really ever responded to the gospel? Do I know what it is that I'm supposed to do? Do I understand that I need to repent of my sins and be baptized for the remission of sins? Am I reliable with regard to that? The gospel call is coming. The gospel call is being announced. Am I reliable in how I listen to that and respond to that? And little by little, day by day, act by act, we're going to be telling God whether or not we're faithful, whether or not we're reliable, whether or not He can depend on us. Now, there's a song somewhere in the book, Can He Depend on Me? But that has to be a question that you ask yourself. And I hope you give that affirmative answer. Can God depend on me? And you can say yes. Until the day you die, amen, God can depend upon you. If you're present tonight and need to be faithful, and need to be responsible and dependable, I'd like to ask you to obey the gospel of Christ, to become a Christian, and then be dependable for the rest of your life together. Come as we stand and sing the invitation song.